everybody. Welcome again to F This Movie, the official podcast of FThisMovie.com. Scary movie love for scary movie lovers. My name is Patrick Bromley, and I wish I could say I was excited about this week's show. I'm just kidding. I'm so excited. It's our annual franchise podcast for the end of Scary Movie Month. Happy Halloween, P.S.
Happy Halloween, everyone.
Which means I'm joined, as always, to talk about all 11 Hellraiser movies by the Hell Priest himself, Mike Pomero.
Hey,
hi,
everybody.
Mike.
Hi, Patrick. How are you?
I just want to start off by saying I love you and I'm sorry.
It was fine. It was bound to happen. We've been putting it off for so long.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we said we had another one. Right, we were maybe going to do a different one, and then
were
we said,
"Do you remember what it was?"
No,
okay,
but I,
I don't either.
But you said,
"Not the Omen, not Amity. We can never do Amityville."
Well, right, but you said if the new Hellraiser drops,
that's exactly
we'll
what
have
happened.
To do Hellraiser.
Yes, and it did,
and it did,
and we do,
and we do.
Here we are, ruining our scary movie month. 11 Hellraisers. We have a little pinhead doll here, courtesy of Rosalie and Andy. Let's fucking do this.
All right.
I'm here.
Thank you, everybody, for a really fun Scary Movie Month. Thank you for participating in the Scary Movie Challenge. I would explain it again, but it's Halloween, which means it's over. And, I mean, you still have until tonight to enter your 7-word reviews. If this is the first time you've ever heard this show, welcome.
Do you find yourself enjoying the 7-word review? I always feel like you said you put a lot of pressure on yourself. Right?
Yeah, I haven't done any this month.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I was wondering if you...
I haven't because I didn't because I was putting all this pressure on myself. And then I got so behind that I was like, well, I can never dig myself out of this hole. How am I going to write 50 of these things? Which
so it's
is
just
what I would have to do. So okay. I maybe am writing off this. Oh. There's still a few days left in October. Not to pull back the curtain too far, guys, but we're recording a little early. because we have to, because life is so busy. Anyway, thank you for doing these 7-word reviews.
Yes.
Hopefully this show sounds good. I heard a few seconds of our Patreon exclusive that Mike was on where we talked about our top 5 horror directors, and something was off with the sound. So I apologize to you Patreon subscribers. Hopefully you still enjoy that show, but hopefully this show sounds better. Let's read some 7-word reviews, bro.
Okay. I have it on paper. I'm like... I just brought this paper to do my Artie Lang doing Rush Limbaugh impression.
Ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Runaway Dual Rig says of Halloween Ends, the ends do indeed justify the memes.
Ba-bum-bum.
That made me laugh.
Joel Edmiston, who just this week published a very entertaining article about the history of the name Loomis in movies, specifically horror movies, says of Body Melt, let's put another melt on the body. I wasn't really trying to do Australian there, just
good,
for the
good,
record. He kind of wrote it. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Crocodile Dundee, Mr. Yahoo fucking Serious.
I legit wish I could do an Australian accent. I cannot.
No.
I can't do it.
No.
So who am I to make fun? Adam O. says of Maniac, feel like I need a shower now.
Yeah, that's
perfect
Maniac.
Review.
Jeff Quinn of Shocker, I can't think of any electricity puns.
Brett Cullum of Friday the 13th, 1980, blatant exploitation and unoriginal, but so fun.
I'm into it.
Yep.
Todd Slade of Cursed, I'm not into Werewolf Judy Greer.
My next one was Todd Slade of Cursed.
Because we all get it, because we're all into Werewolf Judy Greer.
Exactly. That one was great.
We're into Judy Greer in any form.
My next one would be Mookie, Gremlins, Kate's, Reinhold. Wait, where's the pool scene?
Mashke says of VHS 99, please be kind, rewind, over Doofy's death.
Miko, the great Miko.
Yes, thank you, Miko.
Says of Dr. Sleep, Rebecca Ferguson says, hi there, I'm floored.
Chris Cabellos of The Funhouse, pretty elaborate excuse to peep sister's boobs.
Aaron Keith of Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master, burning urination, dog better get some penicillin.
Maddie Kokolka of Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, Talbot takes the wolf transformation lying down.
Patrick Regal of The Descent. Why descend in the first place? Stupid.
It's the stupid that sold me on that one. Yeah. Frank Levesque of the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Sleeping for 23 years, that's the dream.
My next one is Frank Levesque of the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Because I really feel that one, Frank.
Yes! That's all I want to do, that's especially after this fucking month.
All I want to do. Reed Strickland, Body Bags. My right eye for Body Bags 2.
Yes. Matthew Nicely of Kingdom of the Spiders. Can't make an omelet without killing spiders.
Our very own Adam Risky of The Invisible Ray says 79 minutes, but feels like 97 minutes. And I haven't seen The Invisible Ray, but that made me laugh.
Marcus Killerby of Terrifier. You're tearing me apart, Art the Clown.
Lindsay Wilkins of Blade 2. Snipes poses the hell out of this.
Nice. Angela Hager of The House on Sorority Row. The youth need to stop accidentally murdering.
Monkey on A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors. In my group sessions, we only meditated.
Brian Sager of Sinister. Kisses wife, tucks in kids, watches snuff.
Andy Bishop of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 1974. Leatherface. Who the hell is it now?
Reed Strickland of Host. Spirit doesn't appreciate being summoned into quarantine.
Our very own Rob DiCristino of The Exorcist. Possessed Reagan, not dissimilar from most teenagers.
This is my last one. Rocco T. Thompson of Life Force. Sex. More fun with a light show.
I have one more if you could read it because I feel like you will do.
Adam Story?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Adam Story on Maximum Overdrive. Have you considered Minimum Underwalk? Mark Jones.
I prefer your Mark Jones.
That's crazy talk. Thank you, everybody, for doing these 7-word reviews. I know not everybody was able to. Some people still can't comment on the site, which is very frustrating. But thank you, those of you who persevered and did leave your 7-word reviews. We always enjoy reading
them. Some people run the site and still don't leave 7-word reviews. So, yeah, they're...
What an asshole. What an asshole. Speaking of assholes, Mike, have you seen anything scary lately?
So, sure. I've seen a lot of Hellraiser movies, guys. I think I say every October that there's just not enough time for me to get in everything I would like.
Yeah.
Especially this October felt extra busy. And again, I saw a lot of Hellraiser movies. So not a ton of great new-to-me movies. Probably my favorite was Mumsy, Nanny, Sonny, and Girly.
You're not allowed to make shit up.
I believe it's Girly in the United States. I listened to the Edgar Wright Pure Cinema.
I think I saw that you watched this and then immediately like searched for it because your review was like, where have you been all my life or something that, right?
It's like really terrific, and I don't want to say too much about it. Brian Sauer on that episode says it gives him... Spider Baby vibes, and that is absolutely accurate. If you're a fan of Spider Baby, please seek this out. It's a British horror movie from 1970 about a creepy brother and sister and mother and nanny. So a Mumsy, Nanny, Sonny, and Girly. Sonny and Girly are the brother and sister.
Oh, it's all the characters.
Who lure men into their, I was going to say web. That's a Spider Baby.
Correct, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want to say much more than that.
Would
but
you like to come back to my flat?
Yeah. I mean, basically. So you have seen it.
Yeah.
It was really terrific. And I told myself, I made a list of the movies they talked about. I'm like, maybe that's going to be my theme this October. And I saw that one, and I was like, this was fucking great. Here we go. And I never watched another one. So
did you rent it on Amazon? How does one see?
Yeah, I rented it, I think on Amazon.
Okay.
My other highlights, well, like lately I've been watching, I got the, took advantage of the Criterion flash sale and got the Godzilla box set.
Ooh.
That has been, do you have that?
Yes, I do.
It's super fun. I've seen the original Godzilla a number of times and I'm always like sort of stunned how really great that movie is.
Yeah,
and
it's
like
hard to watch though. I kind of like the fun ones.
It is, because obviously like it's got a lot to say, and it's really wonderful. But very quickly does that fucking series turn. It's wild.
It's like Godzilla, and then is Godzilla's Revenge the second one?
Godzilla Raids Again.
Godzilla Raids Again. And then it's
which
like,
is also good. And then it's
kind of fuck it, right?
Yeah,
it's
right. Like, and then it goes to King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah. So then it's like,
and then it just gets weird. Like, takes quite a turn. But that's been super fun. The most fun I've had has been showing, I've talked about a lot, about my daughters on this podcast. My youngest is a horror nut. My oldest, who is a freshman in high school, is not at all. And I genuinely don't want to torture my oldest. Her name is Evie. I really don't want to like scar her, but she's interested. Like, she wants to dip her toes in these waters. Like, she just read Carrie.
Oh, nice.
Right. So she is interested, but man, does it work. So on my birthday, we watched The Fog, and she made her sister spend the night in her bed with her. Really? That night. Yes.
Scared of ghost pirates?
Yeah, I really thought, like, I wanted to watch Carpenter, and I thought, like, well, that's, like, she's not going to. It worked. So then she.
That's kind of a scary one.
Right. Well, yeah, it is. I didn't think it'd scare as much as it did. Then she, I don't even remember the circumstances behind it, but she lost some bet. And she agreed to watch, this was some time ago, she agreed to watch Halloween 78 in October.
So you know what's so nice, by the way, I'm sorry, that you get to watch what you want to watch on your birthday.
Yeah, that's, oh, unlike Evie?
Exactly.
Unlike my day, yeah. yeah, listen to the Patreon if you want to know the story behind that. but yes, so I got to watch The Fog. And then, so we decided a couple, maybe last week, we were going to watch Halloween.
Yeah.
And it, again, I don't want to torture her, but holy shit, was it fun watching that movie with her.
Yeah.
One, like, I love, again, well documented on this podcast, I love Halloween. It's my favorite horror movie. So I just, like, was excited to share that with her. My youngest I already had. I mean, I think we take the shit for granted because we see so many horror movies that 99% of the stings and stuff don't, you know, wash over us. Like, everything fucking worked on her. Everything worked on her. To the point, like, and it just all culminated in the very end of the movie. Loomis shoots Michael. He goes over the balcony. We see him.
How many times does he shoot him? Do you know?
Six.
Oh, is it six?
It is.
Okay.
Well,
how did you come to that number?
Because I've counted before.
Oh, I'm joking. Oh, Loomis says spends all of Halloween 2 saying I shot him six times.
Sorry,
dude,
sorry.
Come on.
sorry. It's late. He goes over. He's dead. Jamie says was that the boogeyman. He says, as a matter of fact, I think it was. He looks over again. Michael's gone. Cue the music. He looks over. Michael's gone. Cue the music. Evie's like, oh, boy. Where is he? Where did he go? I mean, flipped out. It was so... I mean, again, I sound like a bad dad, but it was so amazing. She just, again, it like every beat she, I don't want to say fell for, but like, but it worked on her.
Yeah.
And it was just, oh my God, it was so much fun watching it with her.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, she's like watching a movie like that is like watching, it's like going on a roller coaster. Like, she yells and laughs and at the same time.
It's like listening to the Jamie Lee Curtis audio commentary, right? She's just like, come on.
Yes.
That's scary,
right.
Dad.
In fact, somebody, and forgive me, I can't remember who it was. Somebody tweeted that to me. Was it like the...
Oh, really?
Yeah. The commentary. So it absolutely was.
Here's a question. Because I showed my kids Halloween 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I don't know. And I, you know, there's nudity in it, but I was like, whatever. Yeah. This is... Deal with it, kids. But for some reason, Halloween 2, the nudity, I'm a little bit like, I don't want them to see that.
That's really funny you say that, because I did the same thing, like, with my youngest, the first one, it just sort of had the same, you know, I warned her ahead of time. But Halloween 2, I, like, recorded it off AMC for her to watch, because I was
right.
Remove that part. Because it feels more...
Is it more gratuitous?
That's what I think.
I don't think the first movie, it's not gratuitous.
Right. I mean,
but for whatever reason...
Into. Yep.
Because I was going to say, why don't you just show Evie Halloween 2, and then she'll know what happens to Michael Myers.
True.
He goes to a hospital.
She said she's not watching any more Halloween movies.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, at least not for a while. She said maybe she would rewatch Halloween.
Okay.
She admitted it was good.
Oh, well, that's good.
But she, again, made... my other daughter sleep in the bed with her.
Really?
Yeah. She was so like, funny. Mia, you have to sleep in bed with me tonight. She's like, oh, come on. Like,
she's like, love it.
It's hilarious.
What is Mia's favorite horror movie?
She would say Halloween or A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
A Nightmare on Elm Street, we, like, midway... So I we a long time ago, her and I talked. She always talks about how she wants to be a director. So I told her a long time ago, like,
get did you tell her girls can't direct horror movies?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, good.
I said, girls aren't funny, and they can't direct horror movies. I said, and, you know, she always says, like, she has these ideas for movies. So I said, get a like, a little notebook, and when you have an idea, write it down. So a lot of writers do that. So we were watching A Nightmare on Elm Street, and then halfway through, it was just her and I were home. Halfway through, our dog had to be let out, so I paused it. And she ran upstairs to grab her notebook because she, as she said, she felt so inspired.
Wow.
I love it. I loved it. So, yeah, she's a big, and I think I told the story about her meeting Heather Langenkamp.
Yes.
Like, she loves, yeah. Those are her two favorites.
I've actually seen her notebook, and all she wrote down was three words, Jackie Earl Haley. I couldn't make sense of it. Do you understand?
No,
it?
I'm not sure, but that's it sounds so brilliant. Yeah, she actually asked to watch, because that was on AMC.
Really?
Like, yeah. I was like, ah, you're good.
Yeah, no. Why?
Yeah. It's like, so, yeah, I would say those were, that definitely was a highlight.
Yeah,
I would of my think month. So. I finally got to share Halloween with
that's great.
My daughter. And she.
So what will you watch on Halloween now? Because don't you usually watch Halloween on Halloween?
Yeah, so I think Trick or Treat's such a good Halloween movie. Yeah. That might be the one.
Okay.
It has thrown a wrench in it, but
I had another question too, and now I forget. Oh, did you watch Halloween Ends?
I did. So I watched it. I finished it last night. Life has been for all of us a little crazy lately. So it literally has taken my wife and I three nights to get through Halloween Ends. So
that's the way to watch a movie.
Right. So I obviously that's no way to watch a movie, and I feel like I did not do Halloween Ends any favors. I think it was unfair to watch it that way. I didn't love it. I don't even know that I liked it. I liked it more than Halloween Kills for whatever that's worth. I 2018 Halloween, I liked enough. I always want to like it more than I do, but I liked it enough that I was excited for Halloween Kills.
Okay.
Halloween Kills came out very quickly. Watching that, I knew, like, oh, this is not for me. I don't like it.
Yeah.
We started Halloween Ends, and again, we had to, like, break this up over three nights. We didn't intend to, but we were, like, maybe 30, 35 minutes in when we had to stop it, and I turned to Christy and said, well, I'll give it this. I have no idea what's...
After these 35 minutes,
yeah.
Michael Myers is going to show up, right?
Right. I was just like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's going. So I will at least give it that. Like, I'm much more interested in this than I was the last one. Did it stick that landing? Maybe not. Not for me.
Yeah.
I thought, again, maybe it's... I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. Maybe it's fine. But, yeah, again, I broke it up over three nights, so that's not any way to watch any movie. So
I wonder if I'll like it more. And I don't even know how I'm kind of in the same boat where I'm just like, I don't know if I liked it or not. I know I didn't love it. I don't hate it. And maybe I'll like it more when I revisit it knowing what it is.
Yeah.
Instead of wondering the whole movie, like, why are they taking this route?
Right. Yeah. Obviously I want to like every movie, but.
Right.
I'm rooting for it. It's just not, maybe not for me.
It was a weird choice. I mean, I'll give him that.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather something, you know, weird like that, I guess.
Sure. Than Halloween Kills.
Halloween Kills, right.
Which really, in retrospect, I know I've seen people arguing on Twitter that like Halloween Ends makes Halloween Kills better. To me, it makes Halloween Kills seem more like it was spinning its wheels.
Sure. The guy I work with, in fact, has been very eager to talk to me about Halloween Ends. And today he said that very thing.
Okay.
He said, for him, it made Halloween Kills better. So I was like, and I've only seen Halloween Kills once, so like I do want to give it another try, but not this month. sorry, I don't have anything more exciting, other than Halloween was the highlight.
Nice. I didn't get to watch really enough new stuff this month because again I had to watch 20 movies for two podcasts, plus Toby Hooper for Screen Drafts, you know, plus blah blah blah. I did my annual rewatch of Halloween 4 while we're talking Halloween movies, which I've said a lot of times is my favorite Halloween movie. And I put that on Twitter a couple days ago because it was the anniversary of that movie coming out. And immediately, you know, got made fun of by one of my colleagues in the Chicago Film Critics Association, who only chimes in to, like, condescend or mock me. Somebody else said I accused me of trolling. I was like, I literally have said this 50 times.
Right. If you're trolling, you're not going to pick Halloween 4. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, whatever. Anyway.
Well, and what they said, I think, was like, well, I know you're trolling because I've heard you say Halloween is your favorite. And I'm like, well, I know I've never said that. I love Halloween 4. This viewing, I was like, I probably need to take a break from it because I think I've gotten a lot of what I'm going to get from it. I had a theory, though, that if they had a different cinematographer, not that the photography is bad, the photography is actually really good, but had they chosen to shoot it in scope and a different Michael Myers mask.
Yeah, the mask really, like, I feel bad that I'd say I'd be hung up on something like that, but I am with that movie. It's really awful.
But I think shooting it in scope, changing the Michael Myers mask, I bet most people would put it like in their top three.
Oh, yeah. I could see that. I really like
it. Keep the script, keep the characters, keep the direction. It's just, it's a little, the flat cinematography, I think, doesn't help it. And the mask is distractingly bad.
It is.
But everything else about it kind of rules.
It is.
It does mob justice, hashtag evil dies tonight, which is, you know, ripped off. It does the transfer of evil, which Halloween Ends tries to pull out. I mean, it's doing all these things that subsequent movies would do, and it's doing them way earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
No, I think it's quite good.
Thank you. What else did I see? I rewatched Hostel 1 and 2.
I saw that. Yeah, you rewatched Hostel.
Yeah.
That after hearing Eli Roth on the Video Archives podcast makes me want to revisit some of those movies.
They're really good.
Yep.
I don't know what else to say. I like the second one a lot. I don't think I liked it when I saw it the first time.
Do you like Green Inferno? I can't remember.
I'm at the point now where I can totally watch Green Inferno. When I first saw Green Inferno, Adam and I saw it in like a sneak preview as part of the Bruce Campbell Horror Fest, and both of us were like, kind of fuck that movie. But I've seen it enough times now where I'm like, yeah, sure, put on Green Inferno.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah. I saw Joe Bob did Elvira's Haunted Hills the other night. So that was my first viewing of, I didn't watch it live Friday night because who can? But I did catch up with it after the fact. I had never seen Elvira's Haunted Hills. I've seen Elvira Mistress of the Dark a bunch of times, but I'd never seen Haunted Hills. I actually kind of liked it. It's got a bad rap.
Okay.
I didn't know this until Joe Bob introduced the movie and said, well, this is actually a like a parody of all of the Vincent Price, Roger Corman, Poe adaptations.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So then I'm like, well, fuck, I'm in. I love those movies. It's not as funny or as charming. I mean, it's clearly a lower budget and, you know, whatever. But I had a good time with it.
Oh, that's cool.
And then the only other movie I'll talk about a little bit, I can't even say much about it, is Barbarian.
I'm watching that tomorrow.
Okay.
I already have it bookmarked.
It was very hard last night to choose between Barbarian and Pearl.
Yeah.
And I went Barbarian because I was like, now that this thing's on HBO Max, everybody's going to watch it and it's going to get spoiled for me for sure. Whereas I don't feel like Pearl can be spoiled. Mm-hmm. So we went Barbarian. I'm glad we did. It's awesome. I won't say anything about it except that it's a movie I know I'm going to revisit a lot. I'm hoping there's a Blu-ray release because I really like a lot of the directing choices. I tweeted something about how much I liked it and somebody in the replies, you know, had to tell me I was wrong and said something about like, yeah, but the lead character makes so many stupid choices. And some of that is true, but I feel like, at least early on, the movie goes out of its way to show her making smarter choices. I mean, she makes one big mistake, which I won't even say, you know, she goes somewhere she shouldn't. But like, I don't know. You'll see for yourself. I think it's really good. It's one of my favorite horror movies of the year.
That's great. And I'm also talking to you this evening makes me realize I'm glad like when I tweet, no one pays attention because it sounds like every time you tweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone is there to tell you that you're wrong and stupid. and don't know what you're talking about.
I get that from you. I don't need Twitter.
I just show up to your house to do it.
You do.
I hear you say something, and I just drive over and ring the bell.
Hey, Patrick, I'm going to go see Green Day. Every correspondence we have after that, that's a Green Day joke.
There aren't even any Green Day jokes. You can't tried. Just make that up. I know we have to talk about Hellraiser. I appreciate the fact that you printed out.
I needed to.
No, this is helpful because I didn't, and I'm like, I would have been fucked because I don't know the order. I watched these out of order.
Yeah, that's.
They don't have to be watched.
Yeah, I
in
guess
order.
They don't. I guess they don't.
I normally would never do that, but right. Like part of me knew for my own sanity, I probably needed to do that so that it wasn't like such a case of diminishing returns.
Yeah, all right. In retrospect, yeah, maybe that should have been the
I had to I watch took. One and two like somewhere in the middle.
Oh, yeah. See, that would have been nice.
So I started with ones that I knew were supposedly the worst.
And I hadn't seen... Okay. I hadn't seen most of these. I had previously seen Hellraiser and Hellraiser 2 and 3 and 4.
Okay, me too.
And Hellworld with you.
Me too.
And I think that was it.
I had seen Judgment as well.
Okay.
Because I was on another podcast when that movie came out. I was invited onto a podcast to
like
talk about
that.
It. It was
yeah.
Ian Simmons' podcast, yeah. And he asked me to come on and talk about Hellraiser Judgment. I remember none of it. I don't remember recording that podcast. I remember nothing. But I know I had seen the movie because I think when I logged it in Letterboxd, it was like, hey, asshole, why did you rewatch this?
right. So I
have the Hellraiser block turned on Letterboxd. So.
So I knew going into it, I was probably, yeah, peaking right away, obviously. But I,
thought,
all right, because these are all new to me, like the back end, like that's what will get me through. Does that make sense? Like,
absolutely.
At least, not necessarily the case, however.
No. No, here's the thing. I don't know. To go through them and talk about them one by one might be pointless. It might be the way we have to go. I don't know.
Right.
I know in the past, and I didn't go back and re-listen. I re-listened to one of our franchise shows from 2018 where we built our own franchise.
Oh, okay.
And it was fun. I didn't go back and re-listen to when we did. I remember specifically like the Halloween franchise, which I feel like was our second one. It might have been like 2011 or 2012.
Wow.
And... I remember being so burned out at the end of that and just being like, fuck, I hate the Halloween franchise. Like, what I wouldn't give to watch the entire Halloween franchise right now.
I totally agree with you. I've had that too on this podcast where, yeah, I'm so burnt out by the end. But this was different. This is like,
yeah.
I'm burnt out and I positive I'm not going to revisit.
No.
90%
this is not
movies.
My franchise.
No,
and will never be my franchise.
Same.
We've done other franchises that I'm like, no, I mean, I probably won't watch like every Phantasm movie again.
I could see myself doing that. I won't watch every Leprechaun movie.
Wouldn't watch every Leprechaun movie. What else have we done? I mean, we've done all the big ones.
Yeah, and I'll rewatch those. I do rewatch those. I mean, like Friday, of course.
Yeah, of course. Nightmare on Elm Street, George Romero, zombie movies, like all those I'll rewatch. Yeah, I cannot conceive of a world in which I go beyond 3.
Right.
I don't like 3, but I can watch 3.
Do you prefer 3 to 4?
Yes.
I feel like I liked 4 more.
Okay. Let's start there.
3. This isn't like the whole reason why, but 3, I remember like my 7-word review. Something about like the Cenobites look like Borg in a Star Wars fan or Star Trek fan film.
Yeah, for sure.
Like maybe the worst Cenobite makeup in the whole
camera face.
Yeah.
CD Cenobite. That's the one that people always point to as a defense of Hellraiser 3. And it's like, if you're on board with that, it's that fucking octopus playing drums in Aquaman where it's like, but there's an octopus playing drums. And I'm like, okay. And if you're on board with that, I could see why this movie works for you.
Right.
If you're on board for CD Cenobite, there's nothing I'm going to say that's going to talk you out of liking Hellraiser 3.
See, here's part of the problem and why maybe it was an absolute mistake having me on this podcast.
Never.
It's like I say Bloodline, I prefer to 3. I don't remember Bloodline. Like, I just watched it.
Bloodline is partly in space.
Yeah,
partly scientist attempts France.
To right the wrong his ancestor. Oh, the Adam Scott.
Partly present day.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even
directed by Kevin Yeager, took his name off Alan Smithy.
That is the Alan Smithy
directed instead.
And I remember being excited when I saw, I think, the VHS box, because I just learned what Alan Smithy was.
Oh, nice.
So it's pretty exciting finding one in the wild.
Did you immediately rent it and watch it?
We did, yeah.
Should we talk about the VHS? Should we read the back of the VHS and talk about that?
You make fun.
I'm not making
fun. I don't know, guys. I like that podcast.
It's fine. Everyone should like a podcast. I have podcasts I like. Sometimes we like the same podcast. Yeah,
sometimes we do.
Yeah. What I appreciate about Hellworld, not Hellworld, sorry, fuck, Bloodline. I don't appreciate anything about Hellworld. What I appreciate about Blood, it was, okay, quick aside.
Please.
Again, to bring up Twitter, I made a joke about, like, I'm watching these out of order. Every single one I watch is my new least favorite.
That made me laugh.
Lots of responses. All over the map. I like 4. Inferno's my favorite. Hellworld's a lot of fun. So there's a fucking movie for everyone. It, like,
totally.
The fact that these movies did not work for us is not a condemnation of anyone who likes the Hellraiser
franchise.
Completely
agree.
Because for somebody, this is their franchise. This is their Friday the 13th. You know?
And I get it. And I'm sorry. I'm
no. Go ahead.
I was thinking this. I had these grand ideas that I would also, while watching these, dive into the, like, comic book series and stuff that I know, like, expands the mythology and stuff. And I could see, and I just, like, these movies burn me out. I couldn't do it. but I could see that being the case. I could see people that take these movies that dive into, obviously, like, Clive Barker's work and the comics and stuff. Like, I think I'm sure there's, like, super interesting stuff to be mined.
Yes.
I just don't think, for me, these movies did that.
No. For a major reason, which we'll get to in just a second. Part of my issue is I don't actually care to know that much more about the mythology. The part of the reason that Hellraiser works so well for me is that I don't know a lot of the answers to questions.
Yep.
And it's just, like, hinted at, and I'm like, that's enough for me, actually. That raises more questions than it answers, and I kind of like that. Because there's only so many ways you can see, you know, chains come from nowhere and pull into someone's skin.
Right.
It's their machete. It's just like, I'll never tire of seeing Jason kill a person. I got so sick of fucking chains from nowhere.
Right.
Deader was my last one. By the time they hooked into Kari Wur, I'm like, A, don't do that to Kari Wur.
Yep.
And B, enough with the chains already. Surely the Cenobites can be a slightly more imaginative. Oh no, Butterball, it's the chains again. Anyway, the thing that's interesting about Bloodline is, A, it does try to consider some of the mythology. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not super interested in the mythology, but at least it's doing something. And B, it's the last movie that was... Until Bruckner's movie, it was the last one that was written to be a Hellraiser movie.
Right, exactly, which you can absolutely feel in the sequels.
And that's why what you're talking about, where you're like, the comics exploring the world more, and I could see somebody getting into that, like, that's all shit that's meant to be Hellraiser-centric, Hellraiser-based. None of these movies are. They're fucking reverse engineered to include some Cenobites. And it's like, so they're not exploring mythology. They're not exploring characters. They're not looking at backstory. They're just telling some dumb story. And then occasionally Pinhead and friends show up.
Right. And it also had me wondering, I understand that, like, they had to pump out a Hellraiser movie, whatever, 2 or 3 years or whatever, or have one in development to hold on to the rights. But, like, So they would just, you know, grab a horror script off the top of the pile and throw a Pinhead in, like you said. But I was like watching these. I'm like, but why couldn't they? If they know ahead of time, like, oh, we got to keep making these movies.
Right.
Why can't you just?
Every time I hear a story like this, I feel like it's to beat a writer's strike. And I'm like, how often does the fucking WGA go on strike? I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I'm constantly hearing stories about like, well, a writer's strike was coming, so we had 3 hours to write this.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why the Weinsteins waited until the week before their rights expired. Right. Oh, fuck.
That's what it feels like. I'm like, you know, look ahead and say, like, there's probably, you know, there's a million people out there who probably have their own fucking Hellraiser scripts that they'd be happy to hand over.
Yes.
Find one of those.
What, do you prefer... I thought Tunnicliffe did Revelations too. He didn't. He only did Judgment. Okay, Victor Garcia did. Because I thought it went the Boda era, and then the Tunnicliffe era, but he only did Judgment.
Yes. Yeah.
Victor... Was he doing effects on Revelations? Maybe.
Maybe.
I think he might have been like an effects guy. I don't know. The Rick Boda era. Is maybe my least favorite.
It's my least favorite.
I think they're slightly more competent as movies than Revelations or Judgment, but they're so goddamn lifeless and boring.
They sure are.
I'm not blaming Rick Boda. I'm not saying Rick Boda is a bad director. In some cases, I was admiring the fact that they worked Cenobites and Pinhead into these stories.
Yeah.
Where I was like, how did you even do that? How did you get there from here? But I didn't like any of them. The whole time in my head, I thought Ashley Lawrence returned for Deader. So I was saving Deader for last because I was like, it's bringing back Kirstie Cotton. I'm going to save that for last. And then, no, I was wrong. She comes back for Hellseeker.
I was like, yeah.
And Hellseeker was not good for a lot of reasons. One, it does nothing with Kirstie Cotton. She's barely in it.
No, I know.
She's kind of at the beginning and at the end. Doesn't need to be Kirstie Cotton. Could just be this guy's wife.
Right. Right.
The lead is played by Dean Winters.
Yes.
Who is a fine actor.
Yeah.
As long as he's playing a scumbag.
Yeah. Oz.
He's right.
Mayhem.
Or 30 Rock. He's
or, right.
Like, he's Dennis the Beeper King on 30 Rock. He has one of my favorite lines ever. Technology's cyclical.
So. He's the vulture in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes, right. Yeah.
No, like, I know. He's great at.
He's great at being a certain kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's not a sympathetic lead.
No.
So watching him the whole time, and ultimately he's not. And the spoilers for, I guess, Hellseeker. In the end, we discover he is a scumbag and he's been dead the whole time or something. Right? Is that what happened? He dies at the beginning. Kirstie Cotton shoots him in the car.
He plans. Oh yeah,
we watched 11 of these.
Jesus Christ! Like he plans her death,
right? But doesn't she turn the tables on him and shoot him in the car?
That's right.
And then we discover he's been dead all along.
Yep. He was tortured, and then she walks away with the
lament configuration.
With the lament configuration.
Right. Because of course she would, because that hasn't brought her any inconvenience. Why wouldn't she hang on to that shit?
Well, sentimental now.
I will say it came out in 2002, which is a year before Saw, but I thought it had a lot in common with the Saw movie.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
In terms of some of the cinematography, in terms of...
Oh, I wish I would have put that together. Yeah, you're right.
The whole ending becoming a flashback and being like, here's what really happened. You know, I was like, this seems like a proto Saw, but it's a year before Saw. So they're not ripping off Saw the way they are, say, later in something like Hellraiser Judgment.
Right. Did you prefer Judgment or Revelations?
Judgment is a better movie.
Yes.
Has more interesting stuff going on. I like... Is Gulager the cleaner? Somebody's the cleaner.
Oh, yeah.
There's just some interesting stuff that's happening in Judgment. Now, to be fair, I watched Revelations and Judgment in September. So it was 10 Hellraisers
ago. Those were the two. Those were the two. Or whatever.
Yes, exactly. So it was 10 Hellraisers ago. I don't remember shit now. I remember watching Revelations. It was my first time watching Revelations, and that's the one with cosplay Pinhead.
Yes.
I think I liked it more than some of these other ones.
Oh, interesting.
I feel like it's considered the low point of the franchise.
It might have been my low point. Which and again, I watched
I
them in
started
order.
With right,
this. Right, exactly.
So to be fair, right. That probably explains a lot.
Right. Yeah, that was probably my... That's probably where I was just about done.
Yeah.
So yeah, Judgment felt like a little bit of a I don't want to say a comeback, but
it felt more like a movie.
It did feel more like a movie. Yes, that's a great way of putting it. And that's where like the Bruckner one, saving that one for last, really like I didn't like it as much as I wanted to. And again, it might have just been because I was pretty fucking burnt out.
No, because I watched it probably third.
Okay, I didn't love it, but by that point, like it did feel like a movie to me.
Yes.
That was nice. Like,
but that's
finishing off these 11 with that one.
That's a little bit of my frustration with it comes from it not doing more with Hellraiser.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a remake. It's just a new Hellraiser story. Okay. Takes out all the sex, replaces it with addiction. I've seen a lot of movies that do that.
Yep.
Not take out the sex, but, you know, to be an right. addiction metaphor. Yeah. I didn't think it had anything new or interesting to say about addiction. And again, I like all the people involved with this, so it brings me no joy to be so frustrated by the new Hellraiser. I was really excited about the casting of Jamie Clayton as Pinhead.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just plays Pinhead.
She does.
Like,
right?
I saw tweets that were like, reinvents the character of Pinhead. What movie did you see? What does she do that's any different than Doug Bradley?
Right.
It's a different design. It's a different voice. It's just Pinhead.
Yep, it is. I totally agree. So overall, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it wasn't just the Hellraiser fatigue that led to my disappointment of the new one. It's fine.
No, it's fine.
You're right. Like the people involved gave me a lot of hope. I was really excited for it and just came away thinking it was okay.
The Nighthouse is a way better Hellraiser.
Yeah.
Reimagining.
Right. I like the Nighthouse.
The new Hellraiser is.
Can we talk about Hellraiser 87?
Yes. Because I re-listened. We did a podcast once on that, me and Doug, and I re-listened to that also.
Okay.
Doug is not a fan.
Oh, he's not. I don't remember. I love that movie.
Yes.
I mean, it kind of blows my mind. That's one of, there's, you know, I have a long list of movies that I could point to that get better with each viewing, and Hellraiser, I think, is one of those for me. I've always liked it, but holy shit, I'm always, like, this last time watching, I'm fucking blown away, thinking Clive Barker, this is a fucking directorial debut, just comes out of the shoot, just firing on all cylinders. I think it's so fucking good and smart and gross and sexy, and just, it feels like an adult movie. I really, really love it. It's tight as hell.
I think it's a little directorially, because again, he was an author directing for the first time. I think there's some things in the direction that you could call flawed or clunky. I don't care. It's part of the charm for me.
Okay.
I think there's some mistakes that maybe only a first-time director would make. And yet that's part of what I think makes it so special. I think it's an absolute masterpiece.
I do
think
too.
It's like one of the best horror movies of the 80s.
Yeah, I do too. I love it. I love that. Where do you fall on? Are you a Pinhead fan, if you will? Like,
not especially.
I think he's... I was like trying to wrap my head around it watching these movies. Like, I like Pinhead. I think So much of Pinhead is a design for me.
Sure.
I think he looks great. You know, Doug Bradley's awesome.
But less is more with Pinhead.
Less is more with Pinhead. I agree.
Which is part of the problem with Hellraiser 3. I like him as like the spokesperson for the Cenobites, you know, he's the mouthpiece.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't need much Pinhead in my Hellraiser.
Right.
And I think the first one uses him just enough.
Yep.
After rewatching all these movies, I did want to go back and read the Scarlet Gospels. Have you ever read that?
No, you told me to.
Yeah.
I remember you told me to.
Pinhead like tries to stage a coup in hell, and Harry D'Amore from Lord of Illusions like has to go down to hell to stop him.
That's great.
I mean, it's some Clive Barker fucking fan fiction, but it's so entertaining.
Yeah,
you know? That gets way more into like the character of Pinhead. And I don't think they call him Pinhead. They just call him Hell Priest.
If I remember correctly, I read something about it that like they mentioned that he fucking hates the name Pinhead.
Oh, okay.
I'm almost positive that that exists in that world.
Nice.
Like, he's aware people call him Pinhead and he doesn't like it.
Oh no, Butterball, they're calling me Pinhead again. Why can't they call me by my name? Scott. Yeah, call him Scott, everybody. Yeah. That's what he likes. No, I think
I go to one Green Day concert.
I hope when I go to hell, Pinhead is there, and he says, "Welcome to paradise." Yeah,
me too.
Yeah,
me too.
Oh no, Butterball, you've got that geeky stink breath. Or something. What is that? The name of the Green Day song?
Yeah, Geek Stink Breath.
Ugh. How can you like a band that has a song called Geek Stink Breath?
I like Green Day.
Or Brain Stew.
I gotta be me.
No, I admire that about you.
Thank
I do.
You. Thank you.
Thank you. Lot of people on Twitter telling me I'm wrong to love Hellraiser and that I should like Hellraiser 2 more, that it's a better movie.
I disagree. And I like Hellraiser 2. I think it's a fine sequel.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Okay. But
kind of does what a sequel should do. Mm-hmm. Build on certain things, take it in a slightly different direction, not be as good. You know?
Yep, yeah. Absolutely. I agree. I'm a fan of Hellraiser 2. I like it, but it's the first one for me.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like if they never made another Hellraiser movie, I would be
totally fine.
Totally fine. Not just totally fine, but like I would probably love the first one even more.
Yeah.
Because they diminished the brand by, you know, making all these garbage sequels. It has to be the worst franchise, right? Doesn't it have to be?
I mean,
Leprechaun sucks. I get it. Really? But, like, just the fact that they have so little respect for it that they just are grabbing any script and being like, stick Pinhead in here. Like, no care was given. And by the Weinsteins, no care was given to this franchise by the Weinsteins. Right. I don't want to say the people involved in making these movies, your Rick Bodas, your Scott Derricksons, everybody tried their best.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to take anything away from any of the people that made the sequels, but I just think there was so little interest in preserving any kind of quality.
So, yeah, when you put it that way, that's hard to disagree. Because, yes, my brain goes to Leprechaun because there are no highs in Leprechaun. We're like...
Right. It kind of started as dog shit and got worse.
Right, you know? Exactly. But I do understand what you're saying. They're like... Yeah, when you start out so high with Hellraiser that it's deflating that.
There was just a conversation about this. Maybe Collider published a piece yesterday or something that was like, Friday the 13th is the best franchise. And the argument was because it's the most consistent.
Yeah, I saw Brian Collins tweeted something yesterday about how, like, he said Friday the 13th is my favorite franchise. And he said Friday the 13th does not have a movie as good as Halloween 78.
Right.
It does not have a movie as bad as Halloween Resurrection. He's like, it is just consistent.
Right.
Yeah. And I was like, that's a great, great point.
Is Halloween Resurrection really horrible? I haven't rewatched it probably since our...
I haven't rewatched it since our thing either.
I was so mad that we didn't do Halloween this year. While I'm watching all these Hellraiser movies, I'm like, I wish I was watching Halloween 5. Dominique St. Gerard playing cat and mouse.
I have a...
She is the cat.
This seems like a good...
Michael Myers is the cat, sorry.
This seems like a good place to ask this question. Oh. I have... You may have seen it in my basement. I have a Hellraiser poster signed by Clive Barker.
Nice.
I feel like I need to show you a picture of it.
Okay.
Doug Bradley's going to be at Days of the Dead this year.
Interesting.
I'm going to do Doug Bradley. Do I get him to sign my horror movie book, or do I get him to sign the poster? Oh. The poster, Clive Barker, it's like, if not my favorite signature I've gotten, like the actual look of the signature,
yeah.
It's right up there. It looks fucking great. So there's a part of me that's like...
Get him to sign the book.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think.
That's where I'm leaning, but...
Because do you stop there? Do you get Ashley Lawrence? Do you get... I don't even know if Andrew Robinson does shows.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Is Claire Higgins still alive? These are questions I don't know the answer to.
Right. Yeah, maybe I just do the book.
I think so.
Because it just... Yeah, it looks... If it's so sweet with that signature.
Exactly. Like,
I don't want to fuck with it.
I don't
want to fuck with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I needed to talk to you then.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad we were able to do that.
Whew.
I don't remember what... Shit. Adam just saw Hellraiser 2 at the Music Box of Horrors and put something in my head that now I can never get out.
Oh, no.
As evidenced by the fact that I can't remember what it was. It was about the girl who doesn't talk, and he was saying that she looks exactly like someone, and now I don't remember, but I was like, oh, you're totally right, and now I don't remember who it was, so I'm sorry that I brought that up and should probably cut it out. Yeah, I don't really know what to say about Hellraiser 2 except what we already said, which is like I appreciate the imagination on display. It's a version of hell that I haven't seen.
Yep.
I like that it gives us another villain in Dr. Chenard. Is that right?
Sounds right.
It, you know, gives Claire Higgins some more stuff to do. It has Kirstie doing more than just riding in a car and telling Dean Winters to turn off a video camera.
Chenard, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, what are we doing?
Yep.
What are we doing? She's doing that Langenkamp thing, though, in New Nightmare, where it's like she's only looking better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. Yes. Right. Yes. 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 Yes.
It's fine. If they stomped it too, great.
Yep.
They didn't. They went on to part three, directed by Anthony Hickox, whose movies are usually entertaining because he, like, is way into practical effects and does a ton of, like, ridiculous gore. I have to admit, I don't love Jadzia Dax, like, as the lead of this movie.
I'm with you. And that, yeah, bummed me out because I like her as
Dax. Yeah, it's nothing against her.
Right,
it's just...
No, she just feels miscast.
Yeah, maybe. I thought Paula Marshall was like a little bit more interesting. She gets turned into a Cenobite. Like, there's some stuff in it that I'm like, okay, there's that weird sex scene. And then he feeds the girl to the monolith.
Right.
There's some stuff in there that's like weird and crazy. And like, that's fine. But by the time the Cenobites are just marching around the streets of Los Angeles, murdering people,
looking like Borg.
It's just not what I come to Hellraiser
right,
for.
Exactly. Yeah. I've always had in my head that it was my third favorite, but again, upon rewatch, it really, I don't want to say disappointed me. It's not that my hopes were that high, but I really didn't like it.
Okay.
This time. And again, this was just, I went in order. So it's not like I watched 10 and then got to that one.
So Bloodline is your third favorite?
I think Bloodline is my third favorite.
What do you like in
Adam
Bloodline?
Adam Scott bummed. I'm
trying to find stuff to
again,
like in
I don't
Bloodline.
Know. I brought it up 15 minutes ago and then had to look it up on IMDb to remember which one I was talking about.
You just have to say space. You know. Oh, right. Hellraiser in space. Got it. Had the whole movie been set in space? Right on.
Yeah.
That's your Jason X right there. I'm into it. But
I don't know. Maybe just because it felt like we got the flashback with, again, not to keep going back to Adam Scott, but.
You liked the Adam Scott flashback?
Yeah. yeah, it's fine. I don't know. It's not, again, I don't love it, but I preferred it. I had more fun with that one than 3.
Okay. I can.
Again, it's not much of an endorsement.
Right.
And then Inferno, I was looking forward to seeing it. I had not seen that one before, and I knew it was Scott Derrickson, so I was curious, but
that's the Craig Sheffer one.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's a cop. A dirty cop?
Yeah, yeah. He's an ass. Right. Right.
And what happens?
He's an asshole cop, and he... he kills someone and blames his... Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Thank God this isn't a Patreon. Nobody paid for this.
Fuck.
we're literally looking this up right now. A shady police detective becomes embroiled in a strange world of murder, sadism, and madness after being assigned a murder investigation against a madman known only as the Engineer.
I don't... None of that rings any bells for me. What the fuck are you talking about? His psychiatrist is Pinhead? According to Wikipedia, while undergoing therapy for his hallucinations, Thorne's psychiatrist reveals himself to be Pinhead, the leader of a group of entities known as the Cenobites.
Right, James Remar is his, plays his psychiatrist.
Okay, and he turns out to be Pinhead?
Yeah.
Really?
But I mean, like, when he's, right? Because, I mean, when he's Pinhead, he's...
Oh, no, Butterball, I'm James Remar.
Remar bump.
Remar bump. There should have been a Remar bump.
Right.
And as hooked, even a torment for his sins. So Sheffer ends up hooked by a bunch of... According to Wikipedia, the chains come and hook Sheffer at the end. A better Sheffer movie? Nightbreed.
Yeah, for sure.
You want Clive Barker and Sheffer together? Fucking see Nightbreed.
Nicholas Totoro.
Scott Derrickson has yet to knock me out. Like, Sinister, I think, is pretty good. That might be it.
Yep. He has a lot of It's Fine movies to me.
Yeah. I keep wanting to... Because he's in that conversation of, like, the big modern... We talked about this.
Yeah,
maybe.
We did.
Did we talk about it on the Patreon?
On the Patreon, yeah.
Yeah. Because he's in that Mike Flanagan conversation. But I don't know. Like...
He hasn't done it for me yet either, but seems like a nice enough fellow, and
he's a little bit whatever. It's Twitter. Everybody's a little full of themselves.
True.
He's just constantly imparting wisdom, him and Cargill, like, constantly imparting their wisdom on Twitter. It's like, I don't know, just write funny shit.
Right.
One time shooting the black phone, Ethan Hawke farted. That's what I want. Scott Derrickson, from your tweets. Accidental Ethan Hawke farts. Okay? Because Julie Delpy's got tons of those stories.
Sure.
And that's why I follow her. I don't even know if she's on Twitter. So I've read a lot of the summary. I don't remember this movie.
Okay.
I remember him playing a dirty cop.
Dirty cop. Yes, I remember that. I remember John Turturro.
Nicholas Turturro.
Nicholas Turturro. Sorry, Ron.
I wish John Turturro was in this movie playing Pinhead.
Yeah. I wish I did a John Turturro impression.
This was the first, like, direct-to-video one, right? And
yep.
Did it go direct-to-video?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think the first four were the...
It was the first. Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah. First to go direct-to-video. And the first that was, like, grab a script off the pile, right?
Yeah.
Okay, which you can kind of tell.
Yep.
But I'm confusing a lot of it with Judgment, because Judgment is also about a dirty cop who's, like, a serial killer.
Yes.
Am I remembering any
of
this right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You remember Judgment correctly. Yeah.
Is he a cop? And his brother's a cop?
He's a cop.
Is that his brother or his best friend?
So, that's a great question, because I didn't think they were related.
Did we watch these movies? What is time?
I didn't think they were related, but then at some point they refer to one another as brother.
Okay, but maybe that's just we're a thin blue line brother.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know the answer. I don't know. But the brother's fucking the wife?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I remember parts. Not well.
Do you remember Hellseeker? Because I'm looking at this list now and I'm like...
Hellseeker? Yeah, that's the Dean Winters one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We
kind of
talked about it.
This, yes.
So good. I understand why they brought Kirsty Cotton back.
Right.
Really did a lot with her character. I'm glad they didn't like do something like stupid and kill her
off.
Well,
right, exactly.
In a shitty direct-to-video Hellraiser sequel. But yeah, we kind of talked about that. Proto-Saw. Then Deader.
That's a carry word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which clearly was meant to just be like a weird Flatliners riff.
Yeah, right.
And then they're like, what if some chains came out and hooked into Kari Wur? And I'm like, no, leave her alone.
Right.
I don't know what the fuck. Deader was the last one I watched, and I was deader inside than I've ever been.
You texted me something along those lines, like, you wish you were deader.
I don't know what to say about Deader.
So Hellworld is next. Why did we watch
Hellworld?
When I was watching it, I was like, why did we pick that one?
I have no fucking clue. Like, I...
You have... To peel back the curtain, Patrick has a lot of movies. So there's no shortage of choices.
I have at least like, 75.
I was going to say 80.
No.
But, okay.
Yeah
I don't want
to... I like to keep it at a lean 75. But four of them are Hellraiser movies.
True. Why did we say, nope, this is the one?
I don't fucking know.
This eighth in the franchise.
Maybe it was the Cavill bump. Maybe we were like, let's see what this dude's up to before Black Adam.
I was going to say. Right. Like, I don't know, Cavill. What? There's no, I don't know why we.
So here's something. I listened to the Hellraiser podcast that I did with Doug probably in like 2014. And I talk on that podcast about the fact that at that point, I think there's 8 or 9 Hellraiser sequels. And I say, like, and I've never seen most of them.
Okay.
When it comes to a horror movie, like, if I want to see it, I see it. Yeah. Like, I go out of my way. I go out of my way to see shit I don't particularly want to see. And yet I went for years avoiding Hellraiser sequels, despite Hellraiser being probably one of my very favorite horror movies.
Yep.
So maybe we just were like, it's time to pull the Band-Aid off and watch a Hellraiser sequel. I don't know why we watched Hellworld, but I really did not like it.
No, not at all.
This is nu metal Hellraiser, right?
Yeah.
This is like we're in a club and it's the internet.
But sort of meta because they're playing a Hellraiser game.
Right. Do they know what Cenobites are?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think they're like reference.
I watched this movie probably last week.
Right. Same. Yeah, I feel like they reference Cenobites. And,
okay.
I mean, they don't really do anything with any. Like,
no, because again, it was just supposed to be about this video game called Hellworld that they play, and Lance Henriksen is like the evil developer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And kills some people. Cavill gets a blowjob, maybe.
Yeah, Cavill does get a blowjob.
Yeah. Catherine Winnick is in it. I like Catherine Winnick. Mm-hmm. She's not given a part to play.
No. I love Lance Henriksen, but even he can't save Hellworld.
I can't pick a low point.
In the franchise?
In the franchise. I can't. The reason I don't think it's Revelations is because, again, it helped that I watched it first. It helped that I didn't think it was as bad as I was expecting.
Okay.
It helped that there were a couple moments of pretty gnarly gore, I think brought to you by Gary Tunnicliffe. And at one point, like, a brother and sister are going to fuck. And I was like, well,
yeah,
they're bringing something back to Hellraiser.
That's true.
Like, that's...
I admittedly perked up for that moment. I agree.
Again, not that we want to see a brother and sister fuck.
Speak for yourself.
but
yes.
But it's more of a question of like, hey, is this movie going to go there?
Right.
Because, you know, freaky sex stuff is like part of what this franchise was founded on.
Yep.
And then quickly forgotten.
Totally forgotten.
It becomes a sexless franchise. Again, except for the weird scene at the beginning of Hellraiser 3. So to see, and spoilers for Hellraiser Revelations, it turns out to not be her brother. It's a guy wearing her brother's skin as a suit and whatever. Yeah, it's a bunch of people sitting around a living room. Like, it's not, and the pinhead is laughably bad.
Yeah, I felt bad. Just because I know he's the butt of so many jokes. And I sort of went into it being like, no, you know what? I'm going to be the guy that comes to this Pinhead's defense.
Yeah.
And by the end, I was like, oh, no. He's, I can't, buddy. I tried. Through no fault of his own. He's not Johnny Bravo. He doesn't fit that suit.
No. Our friend Gina Radcliffe referred to the whole thing as like a porn parody. And he is kind of porn parody Pinhead.
That's really great.
Yeah. What would porn parody Pinhead's name be? Dickhead? I don't know. It's not that clever. Hold on. You talk. I'm going to look up Hellraiser porn parody. Because for sure there's one.
Oh, shit. My blog's going to pop up.
Cockraiser is what it's called. Oh,
come on.
I swear to God. There it is.
Oh.
This is the first time porn has been played on the podcast, so you're welcome.
Wow.
But it doesn't give us a name. If I go to IMDb and look up Cockraiser, will it come? Cockraiser. Which is not what you shave your cock with.
Search Cockraiser.
Oh, no. It didn't come up. Okay, hold on. You're supposed to be talking.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
There it is. IMDb.
Yeah. Cockraiser.
Directed by Vuko.
Oh, Vuko.
He just played. The character's name is Cockraiser. That's so disappointing.
It is so disappointing.
That's like calling Pinhead Hellraiser. Oh, no, Pinhead. It's me, Hellraiser.
It is.
But yeah, there's Larry, there's Julia, there's Kirsty, and there's Cockraiser.
That is fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Anyway, I know what you're watching tonight.
Yeah, man. At this point, could have added that one to this list.
Oh, they would have been our favorite.
Yeah, right?
More faithful to the original in so many ways.
Guys, hear us out. Cockraiser. Oh, brought the sex back.
I feel like this is what Clive Barker would have wanted. It was written to be a different porn movie, and then they just added the character of Cockraiser into it. It was just supposed to be some people fucking,
right?
But they really... But so in the porn parody, based on the thumbnail, what do you call that? Pinhead and Kirsty fuck.
Yeah, well, of course.
Better movie.
Yeah.
Come on, fucking Hellraiser, Hellseeker. Like, you kill Dean Winters and you go fuck Pinhead. Better movie. She's got the video camera. She looks great.
Cockraiser.
She should have fucked Cockraiser.
Just, I expect more from you, porn industry.
Right?
That's a disappointing.
They didn't come up with a name for Pinhead. It's very upsetting.
It is.
Anyway, back to this fucking franchise that we have to talk about for the last time. And now we're basically out of franchises, so I don't know what we're going to do
the
next year.
The Cockraiser franchise. I'm hoping there's more than one.
Next year we do all porn parodies. Somebody, Destroy the Brain did that for their 69th episode. They did a Nightmare on Elm Street porn parody. I don't remember.
Really funny.
What it was called. I'm not going to look it up. It had a name. Of course.
You have enough viruses on your computer. That you
exactly.
Just got.
I just got bombarded with Cockraiser viruses.
We did have, like, again, we threw out other franchises.
Yeah.
I'm fried.
Yeah. I mean, there's only three Omen movies. Psycho was one that we talked about.
There's four Omen movies.
Oh, there's four?
There's four. And then,
I Believe You.
Yeah.
But I don't want to watch them.
I like those movies.
Really?
Yeah.
I've seen one and three.
Tweeted something, right? That they're not for you. Am I making that up?
I think so.
So yeah. Psycho.
It was the Psycho franchise, I think, was the one that we considered doing before Hellraiser.
Okay.
If Hulu Razor was going to come out in like November, we probably would have done Psycho and had a much better October.
Yeah, because I like all four of those.
As do I.
Yeah.
Instead, we watched 11 Hellraiser
movies.
But we
did it. We finally did it. We joked for years.
Yeah. So Revelations was your low point?
I think Revelations, yeah, was my low point.
Okay.
I was just
I don't know what my low point was. It was probably Hell World or Deader, because I watched those last and second to last.
Yeah, they're not great.
They're not great. They're just like generic. They're bad as horror movies. They're bad as Hellraiser movies.
Yep.
But I do love the first one.
Yeah.
Do we need to talk more about Hulu Razor or no?
I really don't know what to say, and that's sort of maybe my problem with Hulu Razor is I just didn't it didn't do enough for me that I want to. I have nothing to say about it.
Yeah,
that's my point.
It wasn't like a real like cock razor for you.
No, it was not. I wish.
That's going to be our measure for how much did it raise your cock on every movie we do from now on if this movie.
Oh, I can't wait.
1 to 10 on the cock razor scale.
Erica, hoop dreams. How much?
Cock razor, raising some cock. Was it exceptionally dark for you?
It was dark, yes.
Okay. I felt like I couldn't see half the movie.
It was dark, and then
But then Rob was talking about it, and he was like, yeah, I didn't have that problem.
I heard him say that. No, I found it dark.
To be fair, Rob has the brightness on his TV turned all the way up.
Right.
He really wants to see that shit pop.
Yeah, I found it dark.
Okay.
And just okay.
Yeah.
So, Hellraiser.
Hellraiser. We good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good if you're good.
We're done. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for the 12-year buildup to the Hellraiser franchise.
12 years.
12 years. We've done, I guess, 10 franchises, because 1 year we built our own and we repeated Friday the 13th during quarantine.
Yep.
Maybe we just start repeating shit again. I wonder, because, like, I guarantee if we did Halloween next year, I think I, like, didn't like Halloween 2. I didn't like, I don't know. There's, like, a bunch of Halloween movies I didn't like when we did it.
These franchise episodes fuck me up. Because
we are watching them all in close proximity,
yeah,
while trying to squeeze in 60 other movies.
Right. Like, I feel like I don't trust anything I say on these.
No, of course. Well,
I feel like I trust this
one. Yeah,
this
is fine. Right. We can commit this to the record.
Right.
Everything we say here is canon.
Right.
Especially about Cockraiser.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Tommy. Shit. Do I have to look it up again? I want to see who played.
Raising some cock razor.
Cock razor. 2017, Tommy Pistol plays cock razor.
Oh.
Yeah. Tommy Pistol might follow me on Twitter. I'm not joking. He's definitely going to now.
Shit.
Think of the bump we just gave Cockraiser, where all these people are going to be like, wait a second. There's a fucking porn parody where Pinhead has sex. Scott has sex with Kirsty, who's played by April O'Neil. Yeah.
Oh.
That's her porn name.
Oh, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, that she went with the Ninja Turtles reporter. She was going to just call herself Leonardo Raphael or Bebop Rocksteady. But she went with April O'Neil.
It's like O'Neil. Teenager Mike wrote this.
What if?
Combine my favorite thing.
Hellraiser and the Ninja Turtles.
Hellraiser, Ninja Turtles, and boobs.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Cock Razor. Teenage Mutant Ninja Cock Razor.
I was trying to come up with a hero who's in a half shell.
Yeah. No?
No.
Damn it. It's okay. It's been a long month.
Yeah.
Thank you guys very much for listening. Thank you for participating in Scary Movie Month all month long. Remember to go to fthismovie.com every day for new content. Follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube, where you'll find reserved seating every Thursday. And as mentioned 7 or 8 times on this podcast, we have a Patreon. Go to patreon.com/fthismovie. Our most recent episode had Mike and myself talking about our 5 favorite horror filmmakers and talking a lot about iCarly.
Sorry, I didn't get more iCarly talking there, guys.
Yeah, we really should have.
Adam Thos joined Patreon, his first Patreon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. to check out F This Movie, and I'm not entirely sure it wasn't just to hear our iCarly talk. So you're welcome is what I'm saying.
Oh, no, Butterball. Carly and Skeeter kissed. Skeeter. Is it Skeeter? What are their names?
No. Freddy.
Freddy.
Freddy and Sam and Gibby.
Gibby, that was it, not Skeeter.
Skeeter.
Sorry.
you.
Anyway, somebody let us know in the comments how Cockraiser is.
Yeah, I will. Tonight.
Yes, good. Very good. All right. Thanks again, Mike.
Thank you. Happy Halloween, everybody.